Well, good morning, church. How are we all doing? That's right. Okay, let's open up in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Kind of debated just last minute here if I wanted to do Ephesians 4 or Romans 12, but we'll do Romans 12 and kind of weave in a little bit of a different approach to a section of Scripture that we know really well. While you're all turning there, just a quick comment on Evie's memorial. Just really encourage you all to be there. Great lady, made a huge impact for the Lord and in my family's life particularly, and a lot of people in the church. So just encourage you to be there. And it was always Evie's desire to have a memorial here at the building. And just given circumstances, weren't able to do that right away. And so this is our opportunity to fulfill her wish to do so. So encourage you to be here. If you are able to make it, there will be a potluck-style celebration afterwards. So please be willing to bring something. And then along with that, please touch base with Mrs. Goel, with Ricky, as to what you're bringing. That would be an important point there. We can't show up and have all cookies and brownies, right? So a little bit of a plan behind there as to what we're bringing and what we're trying to accomplish. So I encourage you to be here. And if you can, bring something, touch base with Ricky. Okay, Romans chapter 12, and we'll read the first three verses here. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you as your new creations and through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can be renewed. And it's important principle in our ability to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ as we are being conformed into his image, that we can be renewed, not by our own merit, Lord, but by your doing. Our role is to sharpen the mind, to control what goes in, to control what comes out, and to renew where need be. To a certain degree, Christianity really is a process of changing and exchanging the way we think with how you think. Deciding that what's important is what you deem is important, that what's moral, you deem is moral, that what is right, and that what is love and mercy, that we would line up our thoughts with your thoughts. So just thank you for your word that we can know these things and that as your new creations have the opportunity to renew it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was just thinking this week, last week's message, maybe we've forgotten, was repentance. And not necessarily a definition of repentance and what it means, but maybe more of an emphasis on understanding this great gift that we've been given as God's people to repent. This incredible opportunity we have that this isn't our right that we get to turn from our wicked ways and to be forgiven. I mean, that is a gracious gift that has been extended to the world by God through Jesus Christ. So I got thinking this week, well, can you preach a message of repentance without talking about how you do it? You know, it's like you can come into the room and you can bark at the kids, but probably the most important part of that is the follow-up conversation you have later, the why. Okay, you know, pretty easy to know what's right. Pretty easy to walk around and point out what's wrong. Pretty easy to point out what should be getting done. But really, better yet, able to not only embody it in your own life, but to come around and to help explain to people why these things are the way they are. Why has God done the things he's done, declared the things that he declares? And for the most part, we get to understand a lot of the insights to why God does what he does and thinks what he thinks. So I got thinking, well, you can't just tell a congregation to repent without going a step further to talk about what does it look like on the other side. And brethren, the answer to that is the renewing of your mind. Now, I've kind of noticed that in life, when we tend to lose the why, we can become robotic with the what. Renewing the why, really important. Because when we lose the focus on the why, we can become robotic with the what. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. I spent some time growing up in a number of different places, but in large in restaurants. And so there was a few years there where not only did I work in the kitchen, but I was in charge of the kitchen. And so my why for being there is to produce really good food. That would be the really important part of my job. Okay? And so the what I do should line up with the why. And I learned a really good lesson one time when my boss's boss came in town, because I was kind of getting caught up with spending time in the office. You see, I had to make sure that the notes for the Friday's manager meeting were ready to go. So just working on the computer. And coming up with spreadsheets, you know, for the prime rib cutting percentages and making sure that that program's ready to go. See, I liked doing those things. And what we had in the restaurant was this thing called a taste and temp program. And believe it or not, it was actually my job to go through the building every day and touch and taste every piece of product in that building. I'm talking like the grated cheese. I had to go in there, take a piece out, eat it, and make sure that it was grated correctly. Okay? So there were some things that were more fun than others. Now, that process took anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. And so you come in, and you're fired up, and you're excited, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And a few weeks go by, and a few months go by, and a few years go by, and pretty soon it starts to get pretty burdensome and tiring for doing this 2 to 4 hour process every day. And then it doesn't become so fun anymore. And what we do is, with a loss of a focus on why I'm here, the what starts to become a little robotic. And then you find the kitchen manager in the office on an Excel program typing away, and not in the kitchen where the food is, where he's supposed to be. Do you see what I'm saying? Come into this thing, Christian, and we can't lose a focus on the why. Because when we do, then the what can tend to become a little robotic. And we can find ourselves doing things and going places and thinking things that aren't lining up with what we've been called to do, which is ultimately to glorify our God. Amen? So, what I've noticed is we just need reminded. We just needed to be reminded. Nolan, the most important thing you could do was make sure that the food that's coming out is really good and that the ranch that was made that day is really good. I mean, could you picture Texas Roadhouse without good rolls and honey cinnamon butter? What if that wasn't really good? Then the whole experience from the very beginning is just not as good as it could have been. And so we just need reminder from time to time. And I was thinking about this, you know, before I came up here. I mean, look at the way the Lord has the church set up. Here we are. Surrounded around the Lord's table for our reminder to celebrate Jesus until he comes. And to fellowship with one another and to be encouraged with many other words. I do want to show us here real quick if we look in Romans chapter 12, because what I want to do this morning is not focus so much on what this renewing process looks like, but more about our why behind we do it. The renewing is the what. It's what you're supposed to do. But I want us to consider the why behind it. And you look in verse 2, he says, you don't become conformed to the world. That's how you live a life that's living holy and sacrificed to God, is you don't conform to the world. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I know we understand this, but I want us just to see for a second, that's your part. That's the part you play, is you're in charge of the mind. And it's God who will do the transforming. Okay, now we can see this in a number of places in the New Testament, but I want us to turn over to Titus in chapter 3. There's a quick little example of this in verse 5. It says, and he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Okay? Again, you didn't get saved because of how awesome you are or how much good you've done. You've been saved because of God's mercy. And He says, by the washing of regeneration, sounds a lot like immersion, and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. So just in a quick moment, we are to live a life that is holy and to live lives that are sacrificing to God, and we do it by not conforming to the world and by renewing our mind. Renewing it with what the Scripture tells us to think. That's our job. Our job is to renew the mind. Paul writes, or in Titus here, he says the renewing is done by the Holy Spirit. It's a process. It takes time. And something else I've noticed over the years is it's usually a little better if it doesn't look like a roller coaster. Ever felt like you've been on a roller coaster spiritually? I know I have. And maybe that's one of those things that we all have to experience, but I'm telling you, it's not the best way. Maybe you've seen it in your own life. Maybe you've seen it in the lives of your family members and your close brethren that you're close with. You know, they're just spiritually up here for a month and just way up, and then something bad happens, and then bam, that cart goes down. And the roller coaster takes a plunge, and then, you know, it's like, you know, they kind of quit praying to God and start worrying more, and, you know, well, they've already quit reading their Bible, and now all of a sudden you see them maybe once or twice every month at the Lord's table. And they hit those deep spiritual lows. But I think many of us have been there. But it's not an ideal way. This renewing process is usually better like a kindled fire, right? Like another example you can think of, it's like building a fire. You put a bunch of newspaper on there, you pour, at least this is how I did this when I was in college. You know, you just put some flammable stuff on the fire, dump some gasoline on it, you know, brave enough to throw the match on, whoosh, you know, then it goes up and then whoosh, gone. You see, we want to be those who conform into the image of the godly one through this renewing process, is where we kindle a strong fire from small and allow it to get heat and a good base and a good bottom so that it can build from there and then last. Not only for this life, but in to the next. I was thinking, so it was however long ago I gave this example at the gym about this movement that I learned that I was able to do called the muscle up. And so I had got this message from one of the trainers at the gym who kind of runs the Facebook page, and they like posting, you know, good things like, hey, so-and-so lost 5 pounds, or so-and-so did really good on this workout, or so-and-so, you know, whatever, and to encourage you to make goals and to hit your goals. So I get this message this week from one of the trainers saying, hey, would you happen by chance to have a video of that muscle up that you were able to get? I would like to put it on the page. And I was like, oh boy, you know, something's not really what I want, but like, okay, you know, I get what you're trying to do. I was like, sure, I actually have a video of that and I'll send it to you. And then I went to the gym the next day and I was talking to one of the other trainers, and it dawned on me, and I said, you know, hey, you're going to put this video up. All right. You know, it's not really my thing, you know. But you know what you should do is you should post the video, the success. And you should say behind every posted successful video, what you don't see are the 200 failed attempts. Because it's something I wanted. So I tried 10 times a day for a month. You know, ballpark, round figures. You know, show up early. Try 3, 4, 5 times, fail. Stay afterwards, try 3, 4, 5 times, fail. For a month. You know, work out, say 5 days a week times 4 weeks. That's 200. Now, I appreciate what the trainer's trying to do and to say, hey, look, you know, like Nolan learned this new thing and you can too. But often what happens, especially on Facebook and on the internet, is you don't see the work that went in. And I'm not saying think about the work I put in. I'm saying look at how many times I failed to get there. 200. I was like, you know, because I like math, and I did the quick math, how long I've been trying, how many weeks. So I was like, I have failed 200 of those before I got my first one. Now what I want us to understand, brethren, is I'm not saying you have to fail 200 times to do something good for the Lord. What I'm saying is there's a process that takes 200 attempts. You don't have to fail them every time, but you do got to try. And then once you've got that proven character built up and you're able to, through perseverance, replicate that over and over again to deeply entrench that habit, it takes time to get there. And you're not going to get there by trying, 20 in one day and then skipping the next 3 weeks. And then getting another spiritual fire lit up going and then try 30 more times and then give up for 2 months. It has got to be a consistent, daily renewing. Daily. Where you are taking those thoughts captive, like it was read. Anything against the knowledge of God, taking it captive. Maybe it's the stuff in your own head you're taking captive. That's typically how we render that verse, but that's not what it's limited to. We take these things and we take them captive. What's going to move you from a foul mouth to freed of abusive speech? What's going to move you for only looking out for your own personal interests to looking out for the interests of others? A steady, gradual renewing of the mind. Daily. I was teaching math this week, and it's too bad Quinn's not here. Quinn sits in the same chair every day at the math table, and he sits right next to the math cart. And so, I think it's Thursday, and we're doing math, and he just stops in the middle of his math, and he looks up at me, and he says, "Mr. Tool, the math cart got new wheels." And I was like, and instantly in my head, I'm like, "No, it didn't." And I was like, but the brethren do things like that all the time that you don't notice. They see something that's broken, casters or, door closers or, whatever it is, and they fix it, and they don't tell you, they just do it. Okay? And so I was like, and Quinn says, "I'm positive." And he says, "Because I do this every day," and I know he does. He sits there and he puts his foot underneath the cart, and he lifts the cart up with the toe of his foot. And he was like, "Look, Mr. Tool, I can't lift it up because the space from the bottom of the cart to the floor was bigger." He's like, "The wheels are different. They're bigger." And I was like, he made a really good point. So it really made me investigate. Did we really get new wheels? So I walked over there and I looked down and I was like, I could see the dust in the crevices and the buildup on the bottom of the caster. And I was like, "Those are not new wheels." new wheel would be still shiny, maybe not dirty, especially with dust and grime on it. And so I looked at him and I said, "Son, I see what you're saying, but I can promise you that is not a new wheel because it's not new." So then I looked at it for 1 second and pulled the cart out and flipped it around and faced it the other way. And sure enough, the bottom part of the cart had a broken bolt in it, and it was a little lower than the other side. And he was like, "Oh yeah, that's the part that I kick." But the reason why I tell the story is, I looked at that and I instantly figured out it wasn't a new wheel because it was dirty. It had the buildup on it of the wear and tear of all those years. Spiritually speaking, brethren, we have the opportunity to have new shiny wheels at any moment in time. We can be renewed. It's not like you've been a Christian for 20 years and now your spiritual wheel's breaking down and you're all grimy and gross. You can renew and be transformed into the image of that person when you came out of that water having your sins wiped away. But you got to renew your mind. That's the part that we play. So what's going to move us from these poor habits to good habits? From selfish behavior to serving behavior? And I ask myself that question all the time. And the answer I arrive at is personal conviction. What is going to make you renew your mind every day? What is going to make you stop looking out for yourself and start looking out for one another? Personal conviction. Faith. and it can only come from inside you. I can't give it to you. Your spouse can't give it to you. Your kids can't give it to you. Your friends can't give it to you. It comes from here. And you got to knuckle down, put your readers on, and spend some time in the Word of God. Why would you change? Why would you repent? Why would you renew? Why? Like, you got it pretty good. You know, maybe you're 50, 60, 70 years old and you've been doing the same thing for 40 years. Why would you change? Well, God asks you to. And I'm not saying like, well, you got to sit somewhere else at assembly next week. I mean, like, if you got a bad habit, you got to undo it. And if there's sin, it has to be overcome. Now, why would you do that? Personal conviction. A belief that flows from the deepest inside part of you that says, God's way over my way. Not because Mr. Toole said so, not because my spouse asked me to, but because the Lord God has said it in His Word. What separates the January treadmill runners from the rest of the crowd that's there the other 11 months of the year? January. You know, the January treadmill runners, they illustrate something more important than perseverance or a lack of. Whether it's fitness or whether it's Christianity, if you are going to change, if you are going to get on that treadmill in January and run it through December, if you are going to renew your mind and lay aside the deeds of the flesh that are hostile and at enmity with God and renew your mind, if you are going to do that, you have to finally arrive at a position where you are sick and tired of where you're at, and that feeling has to be greater than the fear of putting in the work to overcome. You see, everyone showed up in January and paid the admission fees to the gym because they sat somewhere during their time throughout their life in December and said, I'm tired of the way things are now today. I want a different tomorrow. So everybody shows up in January. Everyone at one point said, I'm tired of today. I want a different tomorrow. Could be high blood pressure. Could be poor health. And what separates the people who show up in January and from those who show up in January and make it all the way to the end is that feeling they felt in December was finally bigger than the fear of what would be if you actually had to put in the work. Because it's extremely hard being unhealthy in December, and it's extremely hard running on the treadmill February through December. They're both hard. You got to choose. Well, the flesh is going to take the path of least resistance. So if the frustration with the feeling in December is not bigger than the frustration associated with running on a treadmill for 12 months straight, then you won't do it. Do you see the spiritual connection? If you're actually tired of defiling yourself with your mouth, that feeling has to get bigger than the feeling you feel of knowing what it's going to take to overcome that. Last week was, don't take repentance lightly. Start making those changes this week. You got to renew your mind. All those moments throughout that day, you got to renew that mind. And so I asked him, well, you know, why would anybody do that? Faith. I can't think of any other reason. Faith. So how do we develop that personal conviction? Well, the rest of this message isn't a limited to, if you understand what I'm saying. But if we look here in Romans 12, I want us to notice something interesting in verse 3. The first part of the answer I came up to in how do you develop personal faith? You have to start with an honest inventory of where you're at today. Verse 3, he says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." He says, you conform to God. You do that by renewing your mind. And you start by not thinking you're better than you really are. And you also start with being extremely honest with yourself about where you're starting. Now, when I had my December moment and showed up on January, I didn't have a problem with what that number said on the scale. In fact, I was fine with how high it was because I just told myself, that's just how many more pounds I'm going to lose. But the point is, you have to be extremely and sincerely honest with yourself about where you're at. And you cannot deceive yourself in the process. I believe this to be one of the most difficult scriptures for Christians to process. I had this coworker one time, a subordinate. I had no idea how to manage her. He's one of those people that could, you know, I show up at 9 a.m., been working for 6 hours, restaurant hasn't even opened yet, it's 3 o'clock, and she's just one of those people that can walk in and with one stare, sink your spirit. And every day, we'd come in, and I could not have done anything right. How the previous shift was run, oh, it was terrible. Oh, they left this, this is a mess, this is wrong, this is terrible, oh, I don't like this place, I work hard, no one else works, and it was like that every day. And me, I'm empathetic. I'm like, you know, how do I help her not be so angry? Because, you know, like, just the way I see it is, like, that's a hard way to live life. Just so angry all the time, you know? And then, you know, one day, in a moment of positivity, just back there chopping potatoes, and she looks at me and she says, you know what, Nolan? You know what I realized this week? I think I can be kind of difficult to get along with sometimes. No, I'm not kidding. I did not tell that story to pick on this individual. I told this story because, hey, you think that's possibly true for you? Not that you're difficult to get along with, but you saw the point of the story. How does she not see that? I was like, yeah. I'm not picking on her. When I think about that exchange, what do I do? That annoys you. What do I do that potentially wrongs you? And is it possible that I just don't see it? Or that I have seen it and I've closed my heart off against it? Why would you change? Faith. Well, how do you develop personal conviction? We'll get to the Word of God here. How do you develop that? I don't believe you can without first starting with a personal inventory and a good hard look at me and saying, where am I at? And be honest with yourself. Okay, so why would we avoid this process? Well, it's highlighting our deficiencies, our weaknesses, and the things that people don't like about us. I suppose that's the answer. But I want us to think about this for a moment. You take this to the Lord. You're praying to the Lord. Lord, where am I at? You know, you think about a roadmap, right? It's like, you got your destination, and then you have where you're at. And you're trying to figure out how to go from where you're at to where you want to go, right? And that map is useless unless you have a destination and a starting point. Well, we know what the destination is, right, brethren? Heaven. How about you are the light of the world? Destination. How about you are the salt to the earth? That's your destination. How about conforming into the image of Jesus Christ? That's where you're headed, right? The new creation, renewing your mind. That's where you're headed. Well, where are you at? You got to find out. But where do you start? You start with where you're at. And if you haven't answered that question yet with where you're at, how can you start? You see what I'm saying? Okay, so you go through this process. We tend to shy away from this process because it highlights our weaknesses, deficiencies, and things people don't like about us. Okay? But it ain't about everybody else. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Now, I would hope that if I was to highlight one of my weaknesses and to renew my mind and overcome and cause me to treat Will better or to be more merciful to Mike or more forgiving to someone, then we see how that can impact one another. But when it comes to asking yourself where I'm at, you go to the Scriptures. You go to the Lord. So why are we shying away from that? You know, you think you're going to, you know, get down on your knee and pray to the Lord and pray through a section of Scripture. Talks about, you know, drunkenness, immorality, outbursts of anger, divisive language, abusive speech. And you're praying through that. And you're talking to God. And you're like, God, you know what? I did that this week. And you think that somehow He's not going to already know? So what are you hiding from? He knows. He's just waiting for you to figure it out. Okay, so we go to the Lord. I mean, if UPS is willing to slap "How's my driving" stickers on the back, don't you think we ought to be able to pause for a moment and get a little feedback from the Word of God on how we're doing? We got plenty of sections of Scripture for it. You know, Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians. They're in there. But we got to be willing. Am I selfish? Do I listen? Man, catch myself all the time. I get so excited about what you're talking about, and then I connected with it, and now I want to tell you what I'm thinking. And then you listen to me for the next 5 minutes. Ah, come on, Nolan. Do we listen? I mean, really, really listen. Do we serve others? Am I forgiving? Am I divisive? We have to ask these questions, honest questions, and being sincere about where we're at. Why would we change? Well, because God asked us to. All right. Well, that's hard. Brethren, choose your heart. It's hard lugging sin around for 20 years. It'll destroy your family. It can destroy entire congregations. That's hard. Overcoming it's hard. Choose your heart. It's all hard. So which one are you willing to pay the price for? Why would you do that? Well, you got to know where you're at. Okay? Now, I believe that in conjunction with the Scriptures is how you develop that personal conviction and faith to overcome and to renew your mind. You can't do it apart from the Scriptures. Just like I said earlier, where are you going to find the list to you know, you're going to take your fruit and you're going to compare it to what? Your neighbor? Galatians said don't do that. You're going to take your fruit and you're going to bring it to the Scriptures and you're going to compare it to that. You can't begin building personal conviction apart from the Word of God. It has to come from here. Now, we can have those who are spiritual and we can imitate them, and we can have those who are spiritual in the congregation, in our families, in our lives, and we can ask them for wise counsel, and those things are great. But it has the beginning, the preeminent has to come from here. So this and personal inventory has to be in conjunction with the Scripture reading with prayer. You see, you can read Galatians 5, drunkenness, immorality, you know, all those, you know, sorcery, enmity, jealousy, strife, outbursts of anger. I mean, you could read that in about 3 seconds and read over it. You got to read that, and then you got to pause, and you got to pray to God for about 10, 15 minutes about it. Because again, you can think you're not the grumpy person that shows up to work every day. And then in a moment of clarity, realize that you're kind of hard to get along with. Not you, just bringing it back to our previous example. We got to slow these things down in conjunction with the scripture, and then we got to pray our way through it. And we pray our way through it because we ain't fooling God. I mean, prayer itself is a very humbling experience. You're going to submit yourself. You're going to talk to the guy who already knows what you're going to say before you're going to say it, and you better be honest with him. That's what prayer does. I'm going to read 3 scriptures here in a row and then close. And I want us to catch the connection here. Okay, John chapter 7. Verse 37. We're going to talk about glory for 2 minutes. A topic you could preach on for a year. But by way of reminder, I want us to look at something real quick. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "Now on the last day," okay, Feast of Booths, "the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up, cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me,' as the scriptures say, 'from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" Well, that's a pretty cool little promise. Because water is refreshing and renewing. Now, John inserts verse 39 and he says, "But Jesus spoke of the Spirit," referring to those refreshing, renewing waters. That's what we read in Titus, right? It's the Spirit who renews. Jesus says, "Man, you believe in me, from your inside, you're going to flow water, and it's living water. Not the stuff that you drink and then you're thirsty 5 minutes later, like the stuff that's actually renewing." And John says, Jesus spoke of the Spirit. Jesus was teaching about the Spirit. It's refreshing, it's renewing, and it'll come from your inner man. He says, "He spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Okay? There is a Spirit that Jesus gives in our baptism that's an indwelling Spirit that renews us. And it hadn't been given yet in John 7 because Jesus hadn't been glorified. Well, what is this glorified thing? Well, Jesus, and Paul writes to Timothy, says was taken up in glory when he was resurrected. So glory, in short, I think that was 2 minutes, is a description of the resurrected state. Jesus currently, as we are assembled in his name, is in glory, seated in the heavenly places. Now, the Holy Spirit that we now are benefactors of has been given to us because of his glorification. Now, John's just making the point, the Spirit that Jesus is teaching about, the Feast of Booths, hadn't been given yet because he hadn't been glorified yet. Okay, now, we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, just trying to grab a couple little quick things here so we can close. This ties in glory and renewing. Glory and renewing. Your job is to renew that mind. You have to start with an honest assessment of where you're at, in conjunction with a focus and a prayer through the scriptures to build personal conviction. To not be a January Christian, but a January through December Christian. To not be a Sunday Christian, but a Sunday through Saturday Christian. Personal conviction. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 17, says the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, a reference to the Bible, we, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed. Well, that's what Romans said. Into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Do you see that? We, by looking into the scriptures, can see Jesus' glory. He is the Word that became flesh. Yes? So if He is in the heavenly places in glory and is the Word, then we're told that we can see that in this book by faith. All right? Kind of looks like some ink on some pages, but when you dig in and start praying through this thing, it's Jesus seated in heaven. Testimony of prophecy is the very spirit of Jesus. The very spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. John writes in Revelation. We can see it. We're being transformed. Notice the end of the verse. By the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does the transformation. It's us who renews the mind. And we do that by getting it into the Word of God. And we're transformed into that same image. What was the image? The glorified Christ. The glory that we see are being transformed. Do we see? Jesus goes to glory. There he is. And the Bible says we can see it. And when we choose to see it, we get transformed into that image through the Spirit. We got to be willing to look. So we close in John 17. You know, sometimes I wonder, you open a message like this with turn to Romans 12, 1 through 3. It's like, okay. And the brethren are like, all right, you know, renew. We got to renew. Well, we need reminded, yes? What I want us to see today is not that you must renew, is to why? Why would we do it? Not lose the why so that the what isn't mechanical or robotic, but has purpose and meaning and isn't lost in translation. It's the renewing process. Why would we do that? Because we love our God. That's personal faith. That's the why. We love our God. And I can't make you love Him anymore. Only the Scriptures can do that. So in John chapter 17, in verse 20, Jesus says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, referring to the apostles, but for those who believe in me through their word. Brethren, do you believe in Jesus Christ through the word of the apostles? Say yes. Or amen. Okay. So this is you. Jesus said, I'm not asking just for the apostles. I'm asking for those who will come after them, who will believe through their word. It's called the apostles' doctrine, and the church is founded on it. Amen? Okay, so you believe in what the apostles taught. It's the foundation of the church. Verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I give to them. Now you know how he does it. Is Jesus in glory? Do you have access to it through the Scriptures? Yes. So is Jesus giving it to you? Yes. But look at what he says here. He says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one. Just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Do you see it? Now, we're talking about overcoming your bad habits, your stinking thinking, the rotten stuff that's got you in trouble. You got to lay that stuff aside. You got to renew your mind. And you got to go through the difficult February through December process of following through every day. How are you going to do it? Know where you're starting at. You know where you're trying to get to. Where are you starting? In conjunction with an honest assessment, a prayerful, honest assessment of God's Word. Because guess what? In it is the vision of the glory of God. So, are we going to unite perfectly, brethren, if we're lugging around sin? You know, we always like to make the point that the world cannot have world peace because it is without God. That mankind will always be at enmity with one another as long as it is at enmity with God. And we say that all the time. Well, what about the church, brethren? Are we going to be peaceful and united if we're lugging around our sin? I mean, the verse I had to skip because I'm running over here is Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says, you test yourself, you see if you're in the faith. That was written to the church. Now, it's a great verse to show people that the way you pass the test is whether or not you have Jesus' spirit. You got that thing in immersion, but you got to hang on to that by bearing the fruit of it. So, oh yeah, the world, you know, it can't have peace unless it's, you know, unless it has peace with God. Brethren, there's going to be no peace in the church unless you got peace with God. It's not like some magical baptism just, you know, removed your duty of renewing your mind every day, is the point I'm saying. So, how are you going to do it? We each individually have been tasked with the responsibility of being participants in Jesus' glory. We have to individually be developing personal faith, personal conviction in our own lives. We each individually have to be participating. And see, so there's going to be unity in a congregation if the people are overcoming their sin. They can be one as Jesus is one and I in him and he in him and he and I. As Jesus says, that is possible, but that is not possible with sin. So there's the connection. And he says, how am I going to do it? How am I going to unite a people who have all sorts of different backgrounds, likes and interests and dislikes? How can I unite them perfectly? He says, I gave them my glory. It's right here. You checking it out? You reading it? Praying through it? Asking hard questions? And the Bible question this morning, the answer was in Hebrews 4. Isn't it God's glory that can reveal the very intents of your heart? Sometimes you're blind to that. Sometimes we're blind to that in one another. We don't know, and we're not supposed to. It's the Scriptures that do that. Each one of us must renew our mind daily. Let's stand. Your why? Why would you do it? You got to want it. You have to individually want it. And that want comes from an increase in faith. God says you can do it. God even says you can unite a people perfectly. But you are have to be individually involved in the process of looking into the glory of the Word, receiving and reflecting that glory to be transformed into that image in order to unite perfectly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, we are thankful for your Word. You are all-knowing, all-powerful. From you comes and flows wisdom. May we be willing to lay aside tradition, be willing to lay aside culture, the way we were raised, the things that we were told to think, and may we be willing to lay those aside and replace them with your thoughts, with your teachings, with your standards, your definitions of morality and judgment, that we would be willing to go with your ways and not our ways. Lord, if any one of us has struggled this week, if any one of us is fighting sin, or maybe we just have bad habits and we can be flustered or unforgiving or unmerciful, that we would take a good, honest look at where we're at. And through the transforming process, through the Spirit, through your Word, be willing to lay these things aside daily. And renew our mind. Each little moment of every day, be willing to take the 200th attempt to replace the bad word with the good word, to replace the bad habit with the better habit, and to replace the selfish acts with the serving acts. And be willing to go through that process and to be not okay with where we're at today, if that's where we find ourselves at. But we pause and give you the glory that we can be transformed and that we can be renewed. It is a great blessing that we have, and we thank you for it. We pray to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.